We're doing Sefer Maasiyot, and we had left off with a story about a Talmud Chacham who wanted to know who his partner would be in the world to come. And now, Rav Nisim Gong is going to tell us another story about Abaye, who was saddened, and for quite a few days he was a little bit in a daze because they told him that in the world to come, his partner is going to be the barber, his neighbor. So every Friday, this barber would tell him hello. And he had a dream in which they told Abaye, you should know that this man has done some great acts that you can't do them. And that's why he's going to be with you in the world to come. So finally they revealed to him in the dream that this barber, in ancient times, and not so long ago, barbers used to let blood. So this barber, when he would let blood, he had separate seating. That the women, when they'd let blood, they wouldn't do it in front of the men, because they'd have to reveal themselves to let blood.
Wouldn't they let blood out of...
I don't know where they let blood.
Yes.
I don't know where they did let blood.
For medicine.
In the Gemara's time... Yeah, that's why the barber's sign is red, white, and blue. The red is the blood. and he, when he lets blood, so he has this huge rope which has holes in it. And when he lets blood for a woman, so he has her put on that rope so that he won't have to see anything other than that area where he has to let blood. And he has a place outside his store where people put their pay. He has a box. They don't pay him directly. They put their pay over there. And this way he doesn't know who's paying him a lot, who's paying him a little. Whoever can pays what they can, and whoever can't does not. And they could come without being embarrassed. and he doesn't know who paid and who didn't. So therefore, the barber has a tremendous portion of the world to come, he was told. And this barber, he takes whatever wages he finds at night. He always checks at the end of the day, so he won't know who gave how much. The wages that he takes at the end of the day, he gives part of it for tzedakah, and that's why he's going to be in the portion of tzaddikim in the world to come. This story, the story that Abaye heard this, and then he calmed down and he wasn't so upset, this teaches us a point which we mentioned last time. Very often we feel like we have to learn Torah, and that's the only way to make it in this world. So learning Torah is the greatest mitzvah, and it is very, very important. But these stories keep illustrating to us that a person, by being a good person and thinking deeply how to be kind with other people and to perform the mitzvot, a person can attain as much as Abaye. We know there hardly is a page of Gemara where Abaye doesn't show up. So we're talking about one of the top Amoraim. Throughout the Gemara, Abaye shows up. A huge, huge sage. And nonetheless, our sages tell us that this barber, because he did these acts of kindness, trying to help people as best as he can, and in those days, the letting blood was like being a doctor. So it's like a doctor giving medical treatment without accepting pay, or pay as you can, and pay as you can without the doctor knowing how much you're paying. For that, this doctor, this barber who did this and was extra modest with the women, he had a portion with Abaye in the world to come. Rav Nisim Gong continues with the story of the person who had a son, and it was his only son. And then the child grew up, and he was 3 years old. So the father wrote for him the book of Bereishis. And he put him in school to learn. And one day, some terrorists came, and they kidnapped the child. And they kidnapped a lot of people from the city. And when they kidnapped the child, the child had the chumash in his hand. Now this, by the way, is a famous story. The source for this story is right here where we're learning it, Rav Nisim Gong. This is a story that was passed on in tradition. But this is the earliest source we have for this story, Rav Nisim Gong. So this child is kidnapped, and he has the chumash in his hand. And when he's kidnapped, they take him to their country, and they put him in jail. And they take the book that he's holding in his hand, and they put it in the king's library. And one night, the king can't sleep, and he says, bring me my books. So they start bringing him books to try reading before him. And finally, they bring the book of this child. And no one knows how to read it. So the king ordered to bring the child before him. And they gave the child the book. And when the child saw the Sefer Bereishis, he started crying. So the king said to him, don't be scared, why are you crying? So the child said, I'm not scared of you, I'm scared of the one that created the world. So the king said to him, do you know what's written in this book? So he said, yeah. So the king said, okay, then read. So the child started reading from Bereishis till Vayechul. He's reading the description of creation day after day. And each time he reads, he explains exactly how God created the world day after day. And the king sat up on his bed and he said, blessed is the God of the heaven and the earth. And he commanded that they dress the child and seat him before the king. So he asked the child, whose son are you? And the child tells him, I'm the son of so-and-so. I was his only son, my parents' only son. And they kidnapped me from the hands of my Rebbe as I was learning in this book that my father himself wrote for me. And I know my parents are weeping and sorry that I'm not with them. So the king says, yeah, you must be right, your parents. And it must be because of you that I haven't been able to sleep tonight. Don't worry, I'm going to send you back home. And that morning the king commanded to send him back home with a lot of gifts. And when he came home with all this honor and he told them the story, so they praised Hashem for the Hashem who saves people and their difficult situations and who did this kindness to them. And Hashem and the family was very happy because they felt it was Hashgacha that they taught the child the book of Bereishis, and that's what saved him. Because our custom, Rav Nissim Gaon says, is always to teach the child the first book is Vayikra. And this child they happened to teach out of order. They taught him Bereishis. It's interesting that in the Midrashim we find two minhagim. There were two customs. One source seems to indicate they teach the child from Bereishis from the very beginning. And another source, like over here, says that they teach him the Yikra. And now Rav Nissim Gaon addresses us. He says that when he was a child, he asked his father, the chief rabbi, and he was reading before him the book of the Yikra, and he said to his father, why is the first book they teach a child the Yikra, about the sacrifices? Why don't we start teaching a child from the beginning? And he says, my father said, good question, son. Blessed are you to Hashem. And he explained to me that the sacrifices are an atonement for the sins of Israel. And through them, we get forgiveness for our sins. And when the temple was destroyed, may it be rebuilt speedily, so we stopped having the sacrifices. So our sages instituted at that time that we teach our children first the book of Vayikra, which describes the sacrifice, the different sacrifices, so that when they read it, it will be considered nevne as though we've brought those sacrifices before Hashem, and that will be our atonement. And he says, I've seen the sages give another explanation, that the reason we start teaching the children this is because the children are pure like the sacrifices. So pure people, like children, can deal with what's pure as the sacrifices. So these two, he says, are good explanations that he knows. Talk.